quite
unusual.
Nicole.
Noelle.
I have something very important to tell you.
Okay.
That I don't know if you're ready for.
Okay.
But I see you're sitting down, so that's a good start.
I am sitting.
Okay, I need you to just promise me that you won't get mad.
I can't make any promises.
I'm going to need you.
I'm a fire sign. I get mad.
In this moment to try your hardest to not get mad
at
me.
I promise.
Because what I'm going to tell you is a fucking bombshell.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
Anka Joms.
Gross. That's how you wanted to start this episode?
Oh no, are we recording?
Yes.
Anka Joms. Anka Joms.
Hello and welcome
to the Anka Joms.
To the quite unusual podcast. Where...
Our jams aren't caught.
Our jams aren't caught.
Okay, I'm sorry. I won't interrupt.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Noelle.
And this is Anka Joms.
This is Anka Joms. We are starting a sister podcast where we just talk about like various crystals and gems and minerals. And we're going to call it Anka Joms.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about. It's this whole... What did it start on TikTok?
I don't even want to explain it to anyone.
It's like an interview with Julia Fox, who was Kanye's girlfriend for like 2 seconds, and then now she's not. But apparently she was a muse for Josh Safdie when he wrote...
Anka Joms.
And that's exactly how she says it.
I almost want to play the clip.
Please.
Can I find the clip?
Yeah, find the clip.
Keep telling... I would say viewers, but they're not listeners. Looking at this. Listeners,
basically, it's just a ridiculous way of saying uncut gems. And Noelle and I have been, I don't know, obsessing about it for the past week, just saying it over and over and over again. And I think the internet is also obsessing over it with us.
So I saw it on TikTok, and then I just can't stop thinking about it. Like at 2 in the morning last night, we were watching that amazing show,
Inventing Anna.
Yeah, so fucking good. And then we went to sleep so late. Mm-hmm. And then I got into bed and I was just laying there and I was like kind of dozing off. And then my eyes popped open and I went, Anka Joms, out loud in my room alone.
You woke up from a deep slumber and you were just like, Anka Joms.
Anka Joms. Hold on, I'm still looking for it. I'm sorry. Ready? Okay.
He's muse when he wrote Uncut Gems.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like things like that.
Uncut Gems.
I'm sorry. For those of you that didn't hear it, we're just going to play that. We're just going to play it one more time.
I was Josh Safdie's muse when he wrote Uncut Gems.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like things like...
Yeah.
Uncut Gems. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, that's...
I can't stop saying it.
We can't stop thinking about it and saying it, so we have to say it for you guys. Over and over and over again.
Welcome to Uncut Usual. That's what we are now. Uncut Usual.
Uncut Usual.
Yeah. Uncut Gems.
This week, we are not talking about Uncut Gems, but we're doing a little double feature.
Oh, yeah.
Switching it up a little bit. We've done a couple of these before, but you know how usually we typically pick one topic and we... switch off on different parts and tell you the story. Mm-hmm. Well, this time around, we are each going to tell you a story.
Yeah. Nicole's going to do cut gems and I'm going to do uncut gems.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, just kidding.
No, but this week we're doing something a little paranormal.
Paranormal.
Ghosty. It's like a haunting double feature, I guess.
I think so. Every time you say double feature, I think of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Why?
Because it's a midnight double feature picture show.
Mm, okay.
I want to know. Oh. I hope at least one of our listeners just is singing that in their head now.
I would think that they probably, knowing our listeners, there's got to be one.
At least one Anka Jom out there. I will try to keep this into the intro only, but Anka Joms. Oh, also another thing I've been singing. Since our last episode, the Quan Scripton, and you were saying anything can turn into the final countdown.
Yeah, it can.
I have been singing over the last couple days, it's the final brain cell. Because I feel very stupid lately, and like I'm doing stupid ass shit.
Oh, like how you didn't put the
link. I don't want to talk about it, and I don't think maybe we should let our listeners know anything personal about me right now, because honestly, I'm going to throw up if you fucking tell my secrets right now.
All
right.
I have to tell them because I mentioned it. So, Noel and I are obviously roommates, and
I'm going to throw up.
You know that, like, the silver thing that you put on the end of your washer that catches, like, the little tube that comes out that drains the water. And it's supposed, trap. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to catch all the lint.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, Noelle was like,
I'm going to throw up.
Our sink in the basement was overflowing. And I put the lint trap on. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, that's so weird. So then I went
don't
down
make
there.
Eye contact with me while you tell
I'm
the
making
story.
Eye contact with you this entire time. Look into my fucking eyes.
No.
So I went down there and I went to use the sink. And I noticed that the lint trap was attached to the sink hose and not the dryer or the washer hose.
Yeah, you know why? Because I only have one final brain cell.
And I was like, hey, Noelle, do you think maybe the sink overflowed because the lint trap isn't on the tube from the washer and instead it's on the sink hose?
Yeah. You know what the worst part about this is?
Mm-hmm.
Is that my parents listen to this show.
Oh.
And they are going to be so disappointed in me. My dad is going to call me after this and be like, I'm not only disappointed, but I might disown you.
It's fine. It's figured out now. All the lint's getting trapped. I fixed it.
It's the final lint trap. Where is that lint trap?
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you have anything else that you want to discuss about?
To embarrass myself? No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I can't even think of anything that's embarrassing for you because you're a fucking ethereal being and you're fucking perfection.
I am not.
And I'm over here, like, you on your beautiful ivory tower. Maybe you should step into the mess and the filth of the world one day of your life and realize that sometimes.
Can't do it.
I'm dumb.
I told you, we all have brain farts. Don't worry about it. It happens to the best of us.
You know what? It's not my fault. I'm just an Uncle Dom. Okay, and one day, someone's
going to cut you.
This is the new diamond in the rough. You're an Uncle Dom.
Uncle Dom.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget to tell my mom that later.
Well, I mean, if she listens to this, she's going
to
hear it.
Is there a way to ban my parents from listening to one episode?
I mean, you can tell them not to, but I think that's going to just make them want to do it more.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Fuck.
So.
All right, I don't have anything else to embarrass myself about, but if you want, we can start this.
Well, let's just get right in.
Double feature picture show.
To the double feature picture show.
Okay, so for my haunting, I chose what is widely regarded as America's most haunted house.
Mm.
Some could call it an Uncle Dom.
Are we going to continue with this joke this entire episode? Because I feel like we've probably lost a couple people at this point.
I will stop right now.
No, you're. I can tell by your face you're not going to.
I will try very hard to no longer do this. You know what? Okay, here it is. I get one more.
Okay.
Okay, and then after that, you get to tell every new person we meet that I'm dumb and I fucked up the lint trap. Deal?
Well, everyone knows now, so that's not, I mean, yeah.
Shit.
Yes, deal.
Okay.
Deal.
Okay.
You get one more. You better use it wisely.
I get one more Uncle Dom, and that didn't count because technically that doesn't technically count.
All right, I'll allow it.
Okay,
I'll
I'm starting it. Over. Ready?
Go.
For my haunting of a haunted house.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I chose what is widely regarded as America's most haunted house.
Mm.
And I'm not sure how one can really judge that fairly.
I was going to ask, is there some kind of like scale that we go off of? This is just at the top or?
See, I don't know. I'm just going to go with it because that's like, I saw it like everywhere in the world.
All right.
But what if, hear me out, there was like a ghost-o-meter that could like judge what percentage of the air in a space was full of ghosts, like humidity content, but like spectral content.
Love it. Like a K2, but better.
What's a K2?
It's like it measures electromagnetic fields.
Oh,
like, you
know
those things where it's like green and it'll be like beep, 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 beep,
oh yeah, know? I forgot Zach Bates.
But it also just like measures electricity, so it can be wrong all of the time.
Well, we need one that's like for ghosts specifically, not just like electromagnetic energy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the only fair way to judge which house is the most haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
But for all intents and purposes, we are going to call this America's most haunted house. Also, it says America's. So I'm going to assume that's including North and South and Central America. Or do they mean the United States?
Probably the United States. Mm. I would I mean, that's what I would think, but who
right?
knows?
Like, there has to be, like, some haunted-ass shit in Central America.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, whoa.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, this is the United States' most haunted house. We're taking their word for
okay.
it. Okay. Until we get the ghost-o-meter running. Okay. So, sitting squarely at the corner of San Diego Avenue and Harney Street is an unassuming red brick Greek Revival house called the Whaley House. Mm. The Whaley House is located in the Old Town neighborhood of San Diego, California. Do you know what San Diego means in Spanish?
A whale's vagina.
Correct. I didn't know you spoke Spanish.
Oh, well, you know, 8 years. Fantastic. That's the only thing I can show for it.
Yeah. A whale's vagina.
A whale's vagina. Mm-hmm.
The house was built in 1857 by Thomas Whaley. Thomas was born on October 5th, 1823, which I can't think of what his sign would be. What is that, Libra?
That would be Libra, yeah. Oh, my sister's a Libra.
Oh, October 3rd. Oh, my God. Kelly's a Libra.
Yeah. Oh,
also October 3rd. I think your mom gave her your sister's
she,
birthday.
She definitely did. Yeah.
He was one of 10 children born to Scottish-Irish immigrants. When Thomas's father died, he decided to take the family business out west, just in time for the gold rush. He went to California, and he opened a very successful general store. Successful, that is, until 1851 when an arsonist burned down his store.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then I tried to look up, like, if insurance money was a thing back then. Like, if you could, like, burn something and then, like, insurance
oh,
would
yeah.
pay you for it.
Because it was 18, what?
51.
51.
And I'm not 100% sure. So I'd either like to think that it was, like, his enemies that did this to him. Mm. Like, Tinder Swindler style.
Oh, so you're, like, saying, you were wondering if he did it himself just for the insurance money
yeah.
type of thing?
Yeah. Okay. Because right after the fire, Thomas decided to sail to San Diego with his best friend.
Oh.
So he's like, oh, no, everything burned down. I'm going to leave.
Well, if his store is gone, what else does he have there?
True, true, true. Yeah. So that same year, he went to San Diego with his best friend, Louis Franklin. And together, they opened a store called Tienda California. Do you know what Tienda California means in Spanish?
I do not.
It means a whale's vagina.
So San Diego and Tienda both mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm, correct. Okay. It's sort of like how the Inuit people have like 500 words for snow.
Right.
Yeah. The Spanish language contains over 900 different phrases that mean a whale's vagina.
Wow.
Little known fact.
Mm-hmm. Means a lot to yeah. them.
It does. Whale vaginas. It's very important to
their culture.
To the culture.
Okay.
I believe.
Mm-hmm. I'll take your word for it.
You should. Because I took 9 years of Spanish.
Believe everything you just said to me.
Thank you. I did the research for this.
Mm.
So you can trust me.
Yeah.
Journalism is my passion.
Right.
Okay. The store was marketed toward the Kumiya native people, with Thomas even going as far as learning Spanish so he could assist his Spanish-speaking clientele, which oh, I think is super nice.
That is very yeah. nice.
He had to learn most of the words that meant whale's vagina, but he was in it for, like, the long haul, you know.
Well, he started off, and it was just very confusing.
Oh, yeah, because it's just, like, there's so many different phrases that mean it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, the different, like, whales and, like, different, like, I won't get into it. Like,
vaginas?
Yeah.
Vaginas
well, too. You know what? We'll put, like, a separate Patreon episode out there with all the words and, like, the specific whale vaginas that they mean.
Okay.
I think, yeah, we'll do that. So check out our Patreon if you want to see
Patreon
that
exclusive content.
The following year, Louis Franklin sold his half of the company to Thomas Whaley. In 1853, Thomas traveled back to New York City, where he would meet and marry Anna Eloise Delaney. Delanius.
Delanius.
Yeah. The two wed in August of that year. Then, in December of the same year, they moved back to San Diego.
So he's just... San Diego was where he had his original store, right? That burned down?
That was in the northern part of California. I wasn't sure where to find that.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't find it. I think it's, like, in the San Francisco area.
Got it.
And then he moved down to San Diego, and then he moved to New York, and then back to San Diego.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, like, let's be honest. It's the avocado trees. I would go back to.
Yeah, totally. And the weather.
Well, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. For sure. They bought a vacant plot of land, and they built a house that we now know as the Whaley House.
Hmm.
In their house, they had 6 children named... I want to read all of their names because some of them are very bizarre.
Go for it.
Francis Hinton. This child's middle name was Hinton.
A little weird, but...
Yeah, so strange.
It'll pass.
Thomas Jr.
Completely normal.
Anna Amelia.
Normal.
This one's the worst one. George Hay Ringgold.
Oh, that was his... Ringgold is a name?
Ringgold is his, like, second middle name. His name was George Hay Ringgold Whaley.
Okay.
Like,
wow.
Why?
Why does the middle son get the three names and then the first son is just Francis Hinton?
Well, Francis Hinton was named after a person that this man knew, and, like, Hinton was that other guy's last name. So he named a baby. Imagine looking at an infant and being like, oh my God, he's so cute. We're going to call him Francis Hinton Whaley. It's a wild name.
Yeah.
It's a wild fucking name. Yeah. George Hay Ringgold.
Right. Whaley. There are some names that I just can't, the baby can't be named.
Please don't name your baby
Adults
Ringgold.
Can be, like, Susan.
Oh my God.
An adult can be named Susan.
If you name an infant Susan.
A baby cannot be named Susan.
Like, I understand all adult Susans were one time a baby named Susan.
No, they weren't. They weren't. They can't. They can't.
Maybe they just spawn at, like, 43 years old.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Like, right?
They just all of a sudden grow and they're an adult woman named Susan.
Yeah, and then, like, some names are only for children. Like, Kyle?
Yeah.
Have you ever meet an adult man named Kyle and you're like, no, that's not correct.
You can't. That's not your name.
Your name should be, like, Reginald or something. Like, that's an adult's name. Why is your name Kyle?
Yeah.
Or Tyler? Or I could keep going, but I'm going to stop. Okay. Okay.
You're offending a lot of people.
I'm so sorry. I like the names. I like the names. Just never grow up. Okay, Kyle's, yeah. Never grow up.
Stay young forever.
Forever. And Susan's, never be young. I don't know what else to say. All right, moving on. The other two babies were called Violet Eloise and Corinne Lillian, which are very cute names.
Those are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Baby Thomas passed away at just 18 months old in January of 1858 of scarlet fever. Baby Thomas is one of the ghosts that visitors report experiencing at the Whaley house.
Oh. Yeah. How old was he?
He was 18 months. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Tiny little toddler boy.
Poor baby.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly, you can hear, like, tiny little toddler footsteps walking around in the house. And then also babies crying.
My God.
But also babies giggling.
Well, somebody help this poor child cross over. What?
Why would you do that when you can have a baby ghost? That's so cute.
I guess that is kind of cute.
That's kind of cute, right? Stricken with grief, the family did what they always fucking do, and they moved out of their house. And then they moved up to San Francisco. Do you know what San Francisco means in Spanish?
I can take a wild guess.
Go ahead.
A whale's...
Keep going.
Butthole.
No, it actually means Saint Francisco.
Oh,
after the patron Saint Francisco.
That makes...
Yeah. You weren't far off, though. You weren't.
Was it? Okay.
No. Did you know that Los Angeles also means whale's vagina?
I do now.
Yeah. I'm gonna make a list. We're going to publish the list.
Basically, like, 90% of all towns and cities in California are just named after whale vaginas.
Yeah, because people looked out at the beautiful ocean, and what's the first thing that they saw?
A whale vagina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
It's true. That's 100% factual. That's a fact. Then the following year, for some reason, they moved back to San Diego.
Okay.
Yep. Basically, what happened is one of Thomas Whaley's friends named Frank Ames said that he could strike it rich in the stock trade. So Thomas was like, yeah, I love moving every couple of years. Let's move my entire family of 100 children and we'll just go back down to San Diego.
Sounds very stressful.
Oh my God, right. So they moved back into the Whaley house.
Oh, okay.
Because they already had a house there, so it's like, whatever, right?
Convenient.
So this is where the haunting starts. The land on which the Whaley house was built was very problematic, and it was kind of like set... In a way, I just feel like it's like an Indian burial ground situation, but like not as like maligning to other people's cultures here.
Okay.
Yeah, like it was like the land was fucking haunted when they built this house.
Are you going to tell us why it was haunted?
No, I'm not. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, okay, in August of 1852, a man named James Robinson, a.k.a. Yankee Jim.
Wow, that's a fun nickname.
Yeah. Along with two others named James Lorig and William Harris, were arrested and charged for grand larceny. The three had stolen a boat from San Diego Harbor. The name of the boat? Whale's Vagina. They then deserted the boat, and it was washed up on shore, found a couple days later by its owner that had reported it missing.
So they stole a boat and then...
Like, almost immediately abandoned it, like, in the ocean, and then it washed up on shore.
Okay.
I don't know why.
And then
I'm
got
sorry.
Arrested for it.
Yes. I don't know why. And I got this information from a contemporary article that was written in 1870.
Oh, you love old newspaper
fucking
articles.
Love them.
It's like your favorite thing.
It's virtually my favorite thing. Yankee Jim had a pretty bad rap already, so he took the fall for the whole situation. The article that I found says, quote, should I read it in an old-timey voice?
Yeah, you have to. It's from 1873.
You're right.
There's no other way.
Everyone imagine me with a handlebar mustache right now.
And a monocle.
At least
a top hat.
Two monocles.
Aren't those just glasses?
I should be wearing my glasses right now. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, all right. One monocle and a top
one,
hat.
One, yeah.
And a handlebar mustache. Mm-hmm. Okay. Drinking a sarsaparilla. It was said that he had loafed. Is that very old timey?
You can do better. Better before. Okay. Yeah. You got to really get into it. Just like become this.
Yeah. No, that's a little too old. I got to scale it back a little bit. What's like an old timey voice?
I do declare.
Oh, I do declare. Thank you very much for setting this accent into motion, young lady.
You're welcome.
I could be much obliged for you at this very moment.
It was inside of you. I just had to pull it out.
Wow. You just like unleashed something in me. I feel right now. Like, I was previously an Uncut Gem, and now I am a Cut Gem.
That's your one. That's your one.
It was a pretty good use of it, though.
I mean.
Okay. Now, I do declare. It was said that he had loafed around various mining camps and, watching his opportunity, had pounced upon miners in out-of-the-ways places, murdered them and robbed them of their gold and their trinkets. As long as he behaved himself, he was not molested here.
Oh, good.
I don't really know what that means. Yankee Jim was a Canadian Frenchman, 6 feet and 3 or 4 inches high in height and well-developed physically. Well, some could say he was quite a hottie.
That's not what the...
He had anything but the prepossessing appearance that was shunned by all respectable people. So basically, he's super tall. He's French Canadian. For some reason, they call him Yankee Jim, even though that's like an American thing.
Yeah.
And he's just like kind of like a bad dude. He like steals and robs and murders like for funsies.
Okay.
Something super cool about. Go ahead.
And he was in cahoots with
these other two guys.
Okay.
Yeah. To steal this boat. They just like stole shit all the time for some reason.
Just for shits and gigs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just for funsies. Something that's super cool about Yankee Jim's trial is that since the two men that he stole the boat with were deemed, quote, respectable citizens, they not only had their cases completely dropped, but they were allowed to be on the jury that convicted Yankee Jim.
How does that work?
That's like very much like a jury of your peers, if you think about it.
You're not supposed to know anyone on the jury.
Well,
they're not supposed to have any knowledge of you.
Spoiler alert, these two men that also stole this boat with them, with Yankee Jim, were right. Like, it was 100% Yankee Jim. And then they, like, everyone on the jury was like, we believe you.
No
you were
shit.
There.
Yeah.
And then Yankee Jim got convicted.
Mm.
Yeah. He was given the punishment of hanging for his crime of boat stealing, which doesn't really match up to me.
Nope.
But, all right. 1850s justice. The gallows where Yankee Jim was taken to be hanged were constructed on the site of the future Whaley House.
Oh.
And the whole event was just, like, hella fucking janky. They made him stand on a wagon while the noose was fitted around his neck.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. And then two Catholic priests came up and they gave him a blessing. And then there was, like, a man sitting in this cart and there were two mules attached. And he literally, like, cracked a whip. And the mules started walking away very slowly because mules, like, they can't be bothered. They have one speed and it's, all right, I guess I'm going.
Okay.
And then Yankee Jim tried to stay standing in the wagon as long as he could, like, while it was, like, very slowly being pulled away. But then he was knocked off and then his body swung, quote, violently back and forth for quite some time.
He's just standing there like a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But he was 6'4". So he was able to kind of stand on his tippy toes. So he was like choking, but not like fully enough to like die very quickly.
No one measured that out before.
Okay. I went into like this whole research tangent and I wrote this entire thing and then I deleted it because it is just so much information that no one needs. Basically, there's two styles of hanging. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's called like short hanging and then long hanging.
Okay, makes sense.
So the one that you think of when you think of hanging, like Pirates of the Caribbean style, where they drop the floor
gallows,
out from under you,
yeah,
that's long hanging.
Okay.
Basically, the point of that is, like, they hope your neck snaps.
Right.
Like, and you, like, bent neck lady it.
Okay.
And then you die instantly.
versus short hanging is they want you to suffocate to death.
Yeah, you just like strangle for like a super long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it took him about 45 minutes to strangle to death. Wow. They just like watched him die very slowly. And after his long and cruel death, the courts decided that they should probably try the two guys that stole the boat with him. They're like, well, you know what? Let's go back. Like, reassess the situation.
Let's circle back around for a minute.
And guess what sentence they got?
What?
1 year in state prison.
Each only got 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Yankee Jim got 45 minutes of hanging by his neck until he died.
Jeez.
So that's...
Doesn't seem fair.
No, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
No. Thomas Whaley bought the property that the hanging took place in 1856, and he designed the home that was built for a price of $10,000.
God, can you imagine building a house for $10,000?
I wonder... Oh, I didn't look it up, actually, how much that would be now. Can I real-time this? Or you want to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. This would be the first brick house in San Diego. The bricks used in the construction were made at a kiln that Thomas Whaley owned, and the plaster used in the interior of the house was made from ground-up seashells. So, along with, like, all the people that are haunting this place, there's also just, like, 10,000 little tiny clam ghosts.
Clam ghosts?
Yeah, because the walls are made out of seashells.
Are you making this up, or was that actually a thing?
No, I'm totally making that up. But how cute would that be?
Okay, so $10,000 in 1856 today is $330,000.
Can you imagine building a house for $330,000, including land, even if it's haunted?
No.
Unprecedented.
It's never happened.
Like,
can't
maybe in Wyoming. I don't know.
Right, in Idaho.
Yeah.
You can, probably.
Unless it's on, like, fertile potato land, in which case it's, like, skyrockets.
Right.
Yeah, unprecedented. So the house sounds very, very beautiful. It was known as the finest house in Southern California. It was furnished with mahogany and rosewood furniture, lavish Brussels carpets, and a damask drape. It was also considered to be a mansion at the time. The home became a gathering place for just basically everyone in San Diego. They hosted the city's first commercial theater.
In the house?
Uh-huh. And the county courthouse and a general store.
So was this like the only building that they had in town? And they were just like, we're just going to put everything in here.
Kind of. They had bedrooms on the top floor and then like a theater and the courthouse. No, I'm sorry. The theater was on the top floor also with the bedrooms.
Wow.
And then the bottom floor had the convenience store the general store and then the courthouse.
It's like you never have to leave home. It's perfect.
It's all inclusive.
My dream.
This is an all inclusive home.
It's my dream.
Yeah. After several years as dual purpose, the home was converted into a single family residence and all of the other enterprises were removed from the home.
Oh.
Since the family had moved back to the Whaley house, life continued on just as normal. Two of the girls, Violet and Anna, had both met partners and they were both wed in a double wedding inside of the house in January of 1882. Violet married a man whose name I am going to butcher, okay, but I don't give a shit, actually. Okay, his name is George T. How would you say this? Bertolassi?
Bertolassi, yeah.
Bertolassi?
Yeah.
Should I put like a really hard Italian accent on that one?
Yeah, if you have to. That's okay. How you have to say it.
George T. Bertolassi.
Good.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the T stands for.
Timothy.
George Timothy Bertolassi. Checks. And Anna married a man named John T. Whaley. Also unsure what that T stands for. Todd. John Todd Whaley. Oh, and John Todd Whaley, the man that she married, was her first cousin.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No!
Yeah. One of her uncle's sons. But, I mean, hey, it was the late 1800s, and
no!
Technically, that wouldn't be illegal until... Oh, wait, just kidding. Fun fact. I looked this up yesterday, and it's still completely legal to marry your first cousin in California.
It is not.
Mm-hmm,
in California?
Yep. I went on a very hard research tangent, and I found out that it's totally legal to marry your first cousin in, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
26 states.
Are you? For real?
Yep.
26
100% states. That's real, verified. Seems like it should be super illegal, but it's absolutely not.
I mean.
Don't do it, guys.
So it's just frowned upon?
I don't even think maybe it's like, maybe like, just don't tell people and no one will know.
Everyone's gonna know.
They're not gonna know.
They're gonna know.
Yeah, don't marry your first cousin.
Your whole family, everyone in your family's gonna know.
It's so weird.
Also, there are so many people in the world, like...
There's just, like 7 billion of us.
God.
And you're not related to most of them. Yeah, but proximity, I guess, right? And then you don't have to change your last name if that's your thing anyways.
Yeah, it is a hassle to change your last name, so...
Yeah. Well, on her honeymoon, just 2 weeks after their marriage, Violet had woken up to a note laying her on her new husband's pillow. It explained that he was a con man and that he married her for the dowry money that her father had given to him.
Oh.
Now, I can't confirm this, but I do believe that the note ended with, "So long, Tux, XOXO, Gorgeous George."
Is that what people called him, or did you just add that?
I made that up, but I'm pretty sure a con man would call himself Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous. It would be Gorgeous Georgie.
Gorgeous Georgie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, the media would call him, like, Babyface Georgie, and he would hate it. Oh, he would hate it so much. Yeah. Yeah. So,
wow. Anyways. Poor Violet.
I know. She returned home, and then she had to tell her parents what happened, and they were pretty disappointed, but, you know, it's their daughter, so they were like, whatever you need, Violet.
Right.
A year later, she was granted a divorce from George because she just hadn't seen him in an entire year. And the courts were like, okay, well, I guess you're not married anymore because he disappeared.
Because he left you and wrote that he didn't love you anyways.
Yeah, pretty
awkward.
Much. Unfortunately, she suffered a ton of public ridicule and she became reclusive as a result.
But that's not her fault that this dude left her.
Well, it was the 1800s, so it absolutely was her fault.
It's her fault.
It was her fault.
Yeah.
Unable to live with basically being the town joke, she decided to end her life. Violet went out back to the shed behind their house with her father's loaded .32 caliber rifle.
Wow.
She shot herself in the chest on August 18th, 1885, at the age of 22. So young.
How did she shoot herself in the chest? Just like...
With a rifle? I don't know.
Kurt Cobain did it, I guess?
I mean, it has to be possible.
Yeah. Because maybe she sat with it, like, in between her legs and then...
Like, determination,
ooh,
I guess.
Man.
Her father found her after hearing the gunshot, and he brought her into the house, where she died several hours later. Her suicide note read, "Mad from life's history, swift to death's mystery, glad to be hurled anywhere, anywhere, out of this world."
Wow, that's, like, eerily...
Kurt Cobain-y.
Dark and, like, poetic, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Whew.
Yeah, it's, like, not that I want to give props to a suicide note, but that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
At the time of Violet's death, her sister Corinne was engaged. Once the news broke, her fiancé broke off their engagement and distanced themselves from the family completely.
God, these men fucking suck.
After this, Thomas Whaley had a single-story home built a few blocks away for the family to move into. Because when someone dies in this family, they just move and go somewhere else. The Whaley house remained empty for over 20 years after the family moved out. On December 14th of 1890, Thomas Whaley passed away from natural causes. After this, in 1909, Francis Whaley decided to restore the house and turn it into a tourist attraction. He was known to play his acoustic guitar during business hours.
Please tell me that people hear acoustic guitar sounds.
Absolutely.
Am I spoiling that for later?
Oh, I don't know. But he definitely wrote Wonderwall. Little known fact.
Mm.
It was called Wonder Whaley, but virtually identical. In 1912, the remaining unmarried Whaley kids, Anna, Corinne, and George, moved into the house along with Francis. Anna died the following year at age 80, and Francis died the year after. George died in the home in 1928, and Corinne lived in the house until her death in 1953.
So they all moved back to the Whaley house then, once mm-hmm. Francis...
Once her dad died.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she died at age 89. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. The house opened as a museum in 1960, and shortly after, it was designated as an official haunted house by the United States Commerce Department.
They can do that?
Yeah. How fucking cool is that?
They just designate haunted houses?
The only other haunted house in California, like, with this designation is the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh!
So, like, whoa. Pretty cool. Prestigious,
yeah.
Right? The house has a very impressive amount of spirits living in it, with hundreds of sightings every single year. We should go, P.S.
Can you go?
Yeah, you can go.
You can, like, spend the night, or is it tour, like, Lizzie Borden style?
There's both. You can do, like, an overnight ghost hunting tour. Ooh. That's, like, I think only $75 or something.
Okay.
And then, like, regular daytime tickets are, like, $10.
Wow.
Right?
Let's road trip it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So first, of course, we have Yankee Jim, who is known to blow smoke in the faces of visitors, especially women, like cigar smoke.
Mm.
And of course, we have Baby Thomas, who can be heard crying and giggling. Anna is seen very often as well. She can be seen wearing a green dress, sitting at the dining table drinking tea. Anna was known in the living world to wear a very particular French perfume that smelled like lavender, and many visitors claim to smell the floral aroma throughout the rooms in the house. Also, Anna seems to be, like, the most prominent spirit. Like, people see a whole-ass woman all the fucking time.
But for the other ones, they just, like, will smell something or hear something.
Yeah, but, like, Anna, like... I'll tell a story in a little bit, but, like, she's, like, there. Dude.
Which one was Anna? Was she the one who died really old in the house?
Anna was the first of the children to die that, like, moved back after their father died.
Oh, yeah. She died when she was 80. So, yeah, she lived a pretty good life.
Mm-hmm. Violet is seen wandering around the second floor of the home. She was known to spend a lot of time up there, especially in her bedroom, just before her suicide.
Mm.
The air on the second floor is known to just suddenly become extremely cold. And visitors believe that this is Violet just passing by.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Thomas Whaley is seen at the top of the staircase in a suit, a coat, and a top hat, but he's never ever seen anywhere else in the home, just like at the top for like a flash.
So it's just like probably residual, just like him being there just because he's used to it type thing.
Yeah, right. Along with full apparitions, guests also see tons of strange sightings. The house is known to become full of, like, a weird, very low mist, like a fog machine style. When the mist comes in, the vision of guests and the staff becomes blurry right before sightings of these people appear.
Oh, so people can't see, and then all of a sudden, like, Anna will appear?
Yeah. And then it, like, goes away in, like, a second.
Oh.
Also, there's a chandelier in the music room that's said to swing at random times. Oh, and also the lights turn on and off, like, all the time. Like, daytime, nighttime, on, off, whenever.
So is it a museum now?
It is a museum now. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can visit, and, like, all the rooms are, like, restored and stuff. Beautiful. Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You can do a virtual tour right now?
Ooh.
It's amazing.
Gonna do that after this.
So the lights go on and off all the time. Supposedly, the staff have seen a table lamp turn on even when it's not plugged in.
Creepy.
That's super fun. Curtains move all the time as if wind is blowing, but there's never any wind because all of the windows have been sealed shut.
That's a fire hazard.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Unless there's like emergency exits like put in or something.
But even upstairs?
I don't.
Or like in the basement?
I'm not a fire marshal.
Well.
Children can be seen and heard running up and down the main staircase. And the scariest thing to me... A figure is often seen looking out the upstairs window after hours when there is no one left in the building.
Creepy.
I think it's Violet sitting in her bedroom looking out, like, the window.
Oh, they don't, there's no reports on if it's male or female. There's just, like, a figure.
It's like a figure. Like, you could see a face. There's tons of pictures online, dude. There's so many fucking pictures of, like, real ghosts.
Ooh.
It's very, very cool. Like, everyone listening right now, stop what you're doing. And, or just, I guess you could do it later if you wanted to. But Google image Whaley House Haunting, and there's like a bajillion pictures. Also, obviously, we'll post them on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, very cool. Also, obviously, we record in a haunted attic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do this thing that I wish I didn't do, but I have to do it. Every time I come home late, I look at, you know, the back windows.
Yeah.
Always.
Like from the backyard?
Yes. And I'm always like, I'm going to fucking see someone. I'm going to fucking see someone.
Have you ever?
I've never seen anyone. But I promise that if I did, I would shit my fucking pants. I'm so scared of it. And for some reason, I always have to look up there.
I'm going to stand up there. And when I see you pull in.
I will throw up, Nicole. Please don't do that.
I'm going to put, like,
I'm gonna a like,
sheet over. Or put either Agent Cooper or Edward.
Please don't do this.
Our cutout, cardboard cutouts that we have in our attic. I'm going to put them by the window and just, like, let them stand there.
I need you to not do this. I'm going to throw up, faint, and asphyxiate on my own vomit.
Now I'm going to start doing that. No. That's fun.
Oh, it is. It's very scary.
To look up.
I feel like you'll like it.
To see something.
Let me know if you see anything.
Okay.
I've never seen anything, but I'm also very scared all the time. All right, I want to read some accounts of sightings that I found. My favorite sighting is by Regis Philbin.
He's been here?
He has been there.
Aww.
And I've been trying to do a Regis voice, and I can't do it justice, yeah, so I'm not going to do
it. It's coming out a little Christopher Walken.
It's very Walken-esque. It's not good. So he was shooting a segment for a local San Diego morning show in 1964, and he claimed that he had a paranormal encounter with Mrs. Whaley.
Oh.
Regis Philbin said, "You know, a lot of people poo-poo it because they can't see it, but there is something going on in that house." So, like, Regis fucking saw her and was like, "Do you want to be a millionaire?" And she was like, "I'm a ghost." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I forgot." And then he moved on with his life.
That's his story?
Yeah,
some he just people saw, poo-poo it, and that's it?
He like, won't tell people, like, what happened, but he said okay. He straight up saw her and, like, talked to her, and, like, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. So Regis is a believer. Well, now.
I believe Regis.
I also believe Regis. So. Something about him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very trustworthy. He's got a trustworthy face.
Yeah. In the late 1960s, a psychic named Sybil Leek, very cool psychic name, felt the presence of a little girl that is believed to be Thomas and Anna's great-granddaughter, Marion Reynolds. In 1913, while visiting the house with her parents, Marion accidentally ingested poison?
What?
Like rat poison while playing in the dining room. She passed away on the ride back home to Oceanside.
Oh.
She was almost 3 years old at the time of her death. Marion has been seen many, many times, mostly by women and girls. She is said to tug on their clothing or grab their hands or legs. Like, wow. Looking for, like, an adult or, like, someone to play with.
I mean, call me crazy here, but I feel like this family has just had the worst fucking luck.
Yeah, dude.
Of, like, any family.
Yeah. Everyone's just, like, dying all the time.
They're just all stuck there, too.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's giving me big, like, Murder House, American Horror
Story
vibes.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, anyone that dies there, like, stays there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Whaley's family dog also haunts the house.
I want to be haunted by a dog.
I know.
Ghost.
How cute is it? The dog was a terrier named Dolly Varden.
The dog had a middle name, too?
The dog did.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I have middle names for my animals.
All of our animals in this house have middle names.
That's true. Yeah. Not Varden, though. That's a little weird.
No. Maybe it was her last name, like Dolly Parton. Dolly Varden.
Okay.
Yeah. So the dog passed away of old age, but she can be seen running into the dining room. She has also been known to lick people's toes or legs, and she's mostly seen by young children.
Sweet baby
Isn't
angel.
Isn't that so cute? Dolly Varden. Rob Dyrdek, who you know as the host of Ridiculousness.
Yeah, I hate him.
Okay, explain something to me about Ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Why is that show always fucking on?
I don't know. It's like the only thing that MTV plays, and I can't even get through 2 minutes of it because of Chanel West Coast's laugh.
Her fucking laugh.
I can't deal with it.
Like, U.S. government, if you're listening to this, I have a new torture device for you. It is just honestly, Chanel West Coast laugh.
I don't know how anyone watches that show and can listen to it.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
It's the most insane show. Well, Rob Dyrdek said that he used to live next to the Whaley house, and he would, quote, taunt old man Whaley.
What?
Until one day when he saw a figure standing in the window after the house was closed for the day, and he never taunted them again because it scared the shit out of him.
How would he taunt them?
He would just be like, Mr. Whaley, have you seen Ridiculousness?
And just then, play the laugh.
Yeah, he would just
over
play
and over
Chanel
and
West Coast laugh. I don't know. Can you imagine being taunted by Rob Dyrdek? That's just embarrassing.
It is very embarrassing.
Yeah, and then Mr. Whaley was like, you better fucking not. And then he didn't anymore.
Well,
it scared him. A museum manager named Victor Santana, along with some local police, also had a very wild experience. This actually might be my favorite next to the Regis one because I love Regis.
Mm.
Victor said that he had plenty of experiences at his time working at the Whaley house, but there's one that he will never ever forget. He said one night he was setting the alarm code before closing up for the night when he heard a woman's voice, clear as day, say, "Why are you here?" And he thought it was like someone in the house still.
Mm-hmm.
Victor said in the interview, It really scared me to the point that I ran out the front door without completing the code. Because he didn't set the alarm properly, it began to sound, and then the San Diego police responded to what they thought was a break-in. Are you laughing at the way I'm saying San Diego?
I'm laughing at the whole story. Oh.
Yeah. So the police did a routine sweep of the house. They took a statement from Victor, and then they asked Victor about the woman in the green dress, and they wanted to take her statement too, but they couldn't find her.
Yeah. Because it was Anna, right?
It was Anna. Oh. So the cop asked if the woman crying in the back worked at the museum, and the cop said she was in period clothing, and he said, "Ma'am, are you all right?" And she turned to face him, like looked him right in the eye, and smiled. Mm-hmm. And then the police, for some reason, showed like his flashlight directly at her face, mm-hmm. and she disappeared when he did that.
Wow, creepy.
Like right in front of him. So that one's super spooky. Also, there's a movie that came out about the Whaley House. It's called, like, The Haunting of Whaley House or some shit. Mm. It's, like, a horror movie, but, like, a very bad one.
Oh, so it's, like, no one ever saw it type yeah. of thing.
Mm-hmm. It has a 3.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so you know it's bad.
Yeah.
And then also, our sweet baby boy, Zach Bagans, went to the house.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah, but, like, literally nothing happened.
In his episode?
Yeah, he just, like, taunted the ghosts.
Well, that's what he does. He didn't even get possessed.
No, he didn't. This is an... I think it's an early one before the possession thing happens.
Before he was prone to getting possessed every
time.
Yeah.
Before he's like, this boosts ratings. Yeah, so nothing happened. And darn. He's like, this is the most haunted house. This is why I always wear black or, like, some fucking shit. And, yeah, that's the story of the Whaley House. And I'll just ask you one more time. When can we go? Can we go soon?
Yeah. We can go, let's just plan a road trip.
Okay.
And go to all the haunted places in California.
Okay. Oh my God. Let's go north to south.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're doing it. This is our honeymoon tour.
And is that it for the Whaley House?
That's it for the most haunted house in America.
Okay. So, for my story this week, it's actually, so the idea for my story came from a listener.
Cool.
Jordan, and they wrote us a listener lore about the topic, which we will read at the end, but I thought it would be a good topic for an episode, so shout out to Jordan for the idea.
Thank you, Jordan.
So, my story is the legend of Goatman's Bridge, also known as Old Alton Bridge.
Old Alton Brown Bridge.
Old Alton Brown Bridge.
Yeah, correct. Alton Brown has been known to stalk the area.
Yeah, you know, he's... Mm-hmm. In and out all the time.
Got a lot of time on his hands.
So the historic Old Alton Bridge is located near the cities of Denton and Copper Canyon in Texas. Actually, the old Iron Truss Bridge connects the two towns. The bridge itself is 145 feet long, 14 feet wide, and it runs east to west and runs over the muddy waters of Hickory Creek.
That's a good bridge right there, I can tell. East to west? That's my preferred bridge.
North to south is bad.
Don't even talk to me about a north to south bridge. Don't even in this house. This is an east to west bridge house.
The bridge was built in 1884 by the King Iron Bridge Manufacturing Company of Cleveland.
Bet they make a great bridge.
And was originally used for horses, cattle crossings, and then was later used as a path for cars to travel over Hickory Creek. The bridge was supposedly built from a kit and is Denton County's oldest remaining Pratt Truss iron bridge, and actually one of the oldest in the state of Texas.
This is very cool, actually. I like history stuff, so.
Very, very historic.
Hmm.
The name Old Alton Bridge came from the name of the abandoned community of Alton that was around from 1848 to 1857 in Denton County.
Abandoned?
Mm-hmm. Alton was a small town that originally only had one person
in
it. It was a man named W.C. Baines.
Wait, why didn't he name the town after himself?
Because he didn't found the town. He was just, like, living in the area when they, like, built it. He was, like, the only one there.
So weird.
He was just, like, living on a farmstead on the land before it was named the new county seat. So, by default, he just happened to be the only resident.
Oh, they for sure went to W.C. Baines in Texas. His name was definitely Waylon Cattle Rancher Baines. So they went up to him and they're like, Waylon, we got something to tell you. And he was like, yep. You're like, we named the town. And he was like, yep. And that's how the conversation went.
Yeah.
His name is definitely Waylon. I would put like $100 on it.
Waylon, for sure.
It was for sure Waylon.
I mean, I can't confirm that, but I would also bet on that.
Waylon Baines.
Alton was established in 1848, and it was chosen as the legal center of Denton County. So the bridge was originally used to connect the old town of Alton. The town consisted of a Baptist church and several other buildings, such as a school and a post office. But in 1857, the county seat was moved to Denton due to the fact that there was a lack of potable water in the area.
Okay.
So I guess I didn't really think that through, you know?
They're like, oh, we need water to live.
We need water.
You know, I always say you can't leave on sand alone.
They thought the construction of the bridge would bring more people to the town and sort of like breathe life back into it. But unfortunately, it didn't because, I mean,
there was no fucking water.
There was no water.
Yeah.
By 1859, the post office closed forever and people moved away and the town of Alton just sort of disappeared.
I bet Waylon was still there.
Mm. Today, the only thing that remains of Old Alton is the Baptist Church and the Old Alton Cemetery.
Spooky.
The bridge was built all the way back in 1884, but it remained in constant use as a means to travel between Denton and Copper Canyon up until 2001, which to me is amazing. Great engineering.
Dude, top notch. Like, it got sent as a kit, so then, like, regular people built it, mm-hmm. not, like, engineers or anything. Pretty impressive, honestly.
Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Color me impressed.
In 2001, a new bridge was built, something a little more of this century, made of concrete and steel, but it was built adjacent to Old Alton Bridge. The old bridge was a single lane, which required motorists to signal or honk the car horn before crossing, as only one vehicle could cross at a time. But the new bridge was built to provide lanes for multiple cars.
Mm, okay. Did they sort the water situation out or just the bridge situation?
I believe there's probably water in the area.
Bottled water.
You know,
Evian.
I would hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dasani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the town of Dasani now.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
The old Alton Bridge is still standing today, though it is not traversed by cars. Rather, it is an important link connecting the Elm Fork and Pilot Knoll hiking and equestrian trails. And it's a popular walking spot because it's located in a pretty rural, nature-y area. So a lot of people are just hiking through, walking across it.
Hell yeah, dude.
Cars don't go on it anymore, but people can walk on it.
Sounds very scenic.
Mm-hmm. On July 8th, 1988, the old Alton Bridge was added to the National Register of Historic Places. At this time, the bridge was technically on U.S. Army Corps of Engineering property, but the actual bridge itself didn't belong to them. It was just on their land, I guess.
Oh, you know who it belonged to? Waylon Baines. Why? He scratched his name into it with a penny.
Waylon was of here. In 2012, the old Alton Bridge was named a recorded Texas historic landmark. And while the bridge is loved by nature lovers and preserved as a historic location for local Texans, the bridge has a darker side as well.
Oh no.
A story that brings many a paranormal investigators around.
Dun, dun.
So, why is the bridge nicknamed Goatman's Bridge, might you ask?
I do find myself asking this.
You asked me, so, well, now you're asking me.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes.
Why is the bridge nicknamed Goatman Bridge?
Well, let me tell you the legend of the Goatman.
I'm very thrilled for this.
So the story goes like this. Half a century after the old Alton Bridge was built, so around 1930... an African-American entrepreneur named Oscar Washburn and his family. I know, right? So Oscar and his family settled on land near Old Alton Bridge. Oscar and his family lived in a small wood shanty with a tin roof. And Oscar was a goat farmer, and he was beloved and respected by most of the community.
Oh, You're really driving that home. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guess he had some enemies. Mm-hmm.
People would go to him for milk, meat, cheese, and they would also purchase yarn that his wife had spun.
Side note, have you ever had, I know you don't like goat cheese.
I hate goat cheese.
Have you ever?
It's the one cheese I don't like.
I'm so disappointed because I feel like you should love it because you're like a big cheese and like charcuterie guy. Mm-hmm. Some
just can't do goat cheese.
I understand. We all have our nopes. Okay. Have you ever had goat milk mozzarella?
No.
This might be a hot take.
Okay.
It's the superior mozzarella, even over buffalo. I'm going to find some and we're going to do, oh my God, we're going to do a fucking mozzarella tasting.
Okay. All right. I'll try anything once. I'll agree.
It doesn't have, you're going to like it.
Okay.
I hope you like it.
All right. We'll do a taste test.
Okay.
Oscar was a popular member of the community and people who knew him gave him the name of the Goat Man.
Of course.
Oscar's goat business was booming, and it was very successful.
The goat business is booming here in Texas. Man.
Living near the well-traversed Old Alton Bridge, Oscar had an idea. So one day, he decided to hang a sign on the bridge stating, "This way to the Goat Man," hoping it would help direct new and old customers to his farmstead for all their goat needs.
I fucking love this guy so much. Hi, it's me, Oscar. Come down to the Goat Man Bridge.
I bet you if commercials were a thing back in the day, that would definitely be his advertisement for his business.
We're going, going, go. Let's go.
While Oscar was mostly loved by all who knew him, this was also Texas in the 1930s.
Uh-oh.
And Oscar was a black man.
No.
So, the Ku Klux Klan did not approve of his success of popularity and decided something must be done.
You know what? This is an anti-KKK podcast. I think it's pretty safe to say we are anti-Ku Klux Klan. Also, Klan is spelled with a C, so they're just spelling things wrong at this point.
Yeah, we are not a positive KKK podcast.
No, we are very anti-KKK.
I feel like we don't have to say that, but maybe
I want it on record if anyone decides.
If anyone decides.
Very anti-KKK.
Yes, we are. This was also during the time of the Great Depression, and to see a black man succeeding while other white men were barely able to put food on the table for their families pissed the KKK off.
Well, they should have gotten in the fucking goat business.
I mean,
it's booming.
Yeah. Some accounts say that many members of the KKK worked for the local government and police force.
That's probably 100%
correct. Yeah, I would probably say yeah. And they believe that they were waiting for Oscar to do something that would give them an excuse to take action against him. Members of the KKK being in the police force? I mean, what? Unheard of, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. No.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy. Yeah. KKK, ACAB. Mm-hmm. What? Oh, my God.
Anyways, it's rumored that once Oscar hung his sign, connected members of the KKK drafted a law that made it illegal to solicit anything on the bridge just so they could have an excuse to arrest Oscar.
I feel like if you do something that's technically illegal before a law is created, making that thing illegal,
you shouldn't be punished for it. You should just be like, hey, can you take this down? Like, now this is a law.
Yeah. Instead of like, oh, we did this thing yesterday.
But it's the KKK. So
I forgot.
You know. Mm-hmm. So one evening, a group of men gathered together with torches in hand and stomped their way over to Oscar's home, banging on his door, demanding that Oscar come out so they could punish him for his sign.
I'm upset.
Yeah. Oscar, however, was not a pushover.
Oh, yeah.
And he emerged from his house with a shotgun.
You know which goat man's porch you're standing on?
He told the men to get the hell off his property, and he fired a warning shot into air.
Hell yes.
And this worked, and the Klansmen ran away from his house in fear, but vowed that they would return and teach him a lesson.
Fucking cowards. Damn. I fucking love Oscar.
Mm-hmm. Oscar's wife was not a stupid woman, and she knew this act would mean they would just come back with a vengeance. So she pleaded with Oscar to move the family somewhere else, somewhere safe. But Oscar was stubborn and told her that this was their home and that no devil was going to drive them from it.
fuck, dude. This is really conflicting because, like, I want them to move for their safety, but I totally understand Oscar.
And, like, his goat business is doing really well. It's tough.
It's fucked.
For a while, things were quiet for the goat man and his family. Oscar continued with his goat business, and people continued to buy his goods, though several people were threatened by the clan because they had vowed to terrorize anyone who would give him business.
Oh, man.
Then one night, in August of 1938, Oscar's wife's worst fear came to fruition when the pair was awoken by the sound of their goats bleeding frantically.
No.
Oscar jumped from his bed to check on the animals and found a man slitting the throats of his prized animals.
Oh my fucking God.
Oscar ran after the man in a rage. He chased him through the woods and halfway across Old Alton Bridge, where he was met by a posse of hooded clansmen. And Oscar quickly realized this was a trap and he was in big trouble.
I'm so sweaty right now. Like, this is a very upsetting story.
Yeah, well, it gets worse, so buckle up. Oscar tried to run, screaming as loud as he could to warn his family of the impending doom, but he was easily overtaken and captured by the mob. They knocked him down on the bridge as several men held him down while they fashioned a noose around his neck. Oscar fought as hard as he could, but he was just outnumbered.
Fuck.
The clansmen tightened the noose around Oscar's neck, hoisted up a beaten and bloody Oscar, and pushed him over the side of Old Alton Bridge, hanging him. The mob then made their way back to Oscar's house, knowing his wife and family were still nearby. They surrounded the house, blocking every entrance, barricading Oscar's poor family inside. The Klansmen set fire to the shanty and watched it burn to the ground with Oscar's wife and his three children stuck inside.
Holy fucking shit.
Now, there are several versions of this next part because, remember, this is a legend. So no one is really sure of the events, but some accounts say Oscar's body was left to hang for days on the bridge as a reminder of who really owned the town and what they were capable of if they were tested.
I do not doubt that.
Yeah.
Especially, oh, like, sure. 1930s Texas.
Yeah.
I do not doubt that.
Some even say members of the clan took pictures of the body and sold the images as postcards. But, like I said, none of this can really be confirmed. But then one day, Oscar's body was just gone. Some speculated that maybe the rope had broken and Oscar's body was carried down the murky stream of Hickory Creek. Others say someone who knew and loved Oscar may have cut him down to give him a proper burial, but no one really knows for sure. Other accounts state that when the Klansmen came back to the bridge after setting fire to Oscar's house, Oscar's body was just nowhere to be seen.
Whoa.
Whatever version of the story you want to believe, one thing is certain, and it's that the body of Oscar Washburn was never found.
Whoa. This is like big, like, I don't want to date myself right now, but this is like big Spawn vibes. Like, he comes back yes. to, like, avenge his family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm fucking stoked, dude.
Mm-hmm. Rumor has it that not long after Oscar's body went missing, people reported seeing him roaming around the area, either walking across the bridge or standing near the ground where his house once stood. It's also rumored that members of the lynch mob started to die in mysterious circumstances.
Hell fucking yes.
One apparently choked to death while eating his dinner.
I hope it was goat meat.
Another fell ill and died from a fever, towards the end of which he was hallucinating and screaming about seeing the ghost of the goat man.
I fucking love this for him.
Another two were killed in a drunk driving accident, suspiciously while driving over Old Alton Bridge at night. This is a pretty spooky story, but according to the internet and people who have dug into the history, there are no records of a man named Oscar Washburn living in Denton around the time of the alleged crime, nor were there any reports of lynching in the area. But many lynchings were never reported, mm-hmm. especially when the people doing the lynchings were members of the police and leaders in the community. So is the tragic story of the Goat Man real? Nobody truly knows, but that is the lore.
I feel like it is very likely that it's real mm-hmm. because this seems very on brand.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, a lot of like law enforcement and local officials were in the KKK back in this day and possibly now. But we won't get into that bit. But anyways, obviously they're going to fucking hide this, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to say.
Yeah. So there was. There is an account of a man named Oscar Washburn living in the area, mm-hmm. but I think it was several years after this was said to have happened, and he was a white man.
Oh, of course.
So definitely not the same guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oscar's story is the most well-known when it comes to legends of the bridge. However, there is another story that might explain why the bridge is so haunted.
Double haunting?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And that would be the story of Jack Kendall. So Oscar's story is, I think, the most told story about the legend of the bridge. But this one is also in there. So the story of Jack Kendall is very similar to Oscar's, except his story predates the construction of the bridge. The story goes that around the 1860s, a bunch of cowboys lynched an enslaved goat herder named Jack Kendall, who ran away. And they lynched him near the location of where Old Alton Bridge would later stand.
Oh, okay. So this is like another like goat man mm-hmm. situation.
Yes.
And another lynching.
Right. But this was before the bridge was constructed, whereas Oscar was apparently
on the bridge.
On the bridge.
Yeah. Also, just one little sidebar really quick. Do you ever like see a town named Lynchburg and you're like, ugh.
Problematic.
Yeah, they should probably change that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like Oscar, the mob fashioned a noose around Jack's neck and hanged him from the nearby tree, but did so in such an aggressive way that Jack's head was separated from his body.
Wow, that's really fucked up.
Yeah.
But he did die instantly.
Yeah.
So it's all fucked. But I guess if you have to be hung...
That's the way, I guess. I don't know.
Stop talking now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here is where it gets even spookier. So legend has it that Jack was Creole. And through the power of voodoo, Jack's lifeless body was reanimated. In search of a new head, Jack's headless form grabbed a nearby goat and ripped off its head and placed it on his own body as the men watched in horror.
This is fucking metal.
Now, there are no records of a Jack Kendall either. However, I don't know many slave owners who kept, like, immaculate records of the people they enslaved.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, they didn't give a shit. So, I don't really think you could expect to find one, even if he did exist.
Correct.
So,
yeah, for sure.
And whatever the origin story you wish to believe, this is apparently how the goat man was born.
Okay, well, I will say that is very metal. And if you guys haven't listened to our voodoo episode, go and do it.
Now that we know the origin story of the goat man, let's talk about all the spooky things that people have reported about Goatman's Bridge.
Can we go here on our road trip also?
Yes, okay. We absolutely can. Obviously, given its namesake, the main haunting reported on the bridge is that of a frightening half-man, half-goat entity. According to witnesses, the goat man stands 8 feet tall, has the torso of a man but legs of a goat, hooves and all.
Okay.
The head is that of a goat with curled horns and glowing, menacing red eyes.
Oh, so it's like a man Oreo. So it's like... goat on the top, man in the middle, goat on the bottom.
Exactly.
Okay, what's scarier to you? Like a satyr situation where it's like man on top, goat on bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Goat on top. I'm talking goat legs and everything, torso up, man legs. Definitely doesn't wear pants.
Probably goat on top.
Man or legs. Or goat man goat. Which one would you be more afraid of?
Goat and then man, especially if he's not wearing any
yeah. pants. Oh my God. That would be...
got a whole other thing going on.
Do you think he washes his legs?
No, absolutely not.
No.
He does not.
Oh my God, I'm going to throw up.
Some say that the goat man has fiery red fur, while others describe it as being as black as night. People say if you cross the bridge without your headlights on, so I guess when cars were allowed on it, the goat man would be waiting for you on the other side.
To ask you, dost thou want the taste of butter?
This is actually because it's believed that the lynch mob drove over the bridge the night Oscar was murdered with their headlights off as to not alert him that they were coming.
Okay.
It's said if you speak the goat man's name while crossing the bridge, you will summon him.
Let's summon the goat.
Apparently, if you do this during the day, he will come out even more angry because you have disrupted his sleep.
What if I bring him like some apples and carrots and some alfalfa?
He might like that.
That'd be kind of nice, right?
People believe that he sleeps under the bridge during the day and that he comes out to hunt at night.
I love this. Also, goats eat, like, grass.
They eat everything, don't they? Aren't they, like, known for just eating whatever they find?
Yeah, for sure. But, like, they're, like, herbivores. Like, they don't eat meat. So, like, he comes out to hunt.
He's got the belly of a man, and men eat meat.
Oh, shit. So he wants, like, a steak and a salad.
Other ways of summoning the goat man include knocking on the bridge 3 times or honking your car horn 3 times. I've also read 2, so I guess 2 or 3 times. I don't know. People claim to have done this and have been met with the glowing eyes of the goat man.
Isn't 3 like the devil thing? Like, is like how you like summon a demon? Like always 3. Sorry, I just made the dog bark.
Ever's barking. She thinks someone's knocking at the door.
Like, isn't 3, like, doesn't it have symbolism to, like...
I believe so, because, well, I mean, 3 and 3 is 6, and 666, so...
Oh, shit, you're right.
Yeah. Some believe the bridge is a gateway to hell.
Oh!
People who have crossed the bridge at exactly 3 a.m., the witching hour, have reported visions of fire and brimstone, which some believe is a look into hell itself.
Let's go!
Hell yeah, let's go. Another thing that is said to happen on the bridge is that many cars have been found abandoned on the bridge, with the owners of the car reported missing and just never found.
Oh.
But there are no real sources that indicate this is true. So I guess that's just like another legend or story.
Okay. Because that would be actually very problematic. Right.
When the bridge was used for car travel, people reported a lot of car problems on the bridge, like cars randomly breaking down or car doors locking and unlocking by themselves. Some people have even reported hearing the sound of hooves on the bridge.
As a horse girl, I would think that that's adorable.
Other accounts tell of sightings of a man on the other side of the bridge holding a goat head under each arm, or of a man herding goats across the bridge. People have reported sounds of inhuman screaming, growling, and maniacal laughter coming from the surrounding woods.
Wow. Have you ever heard like a goat like make a lot of noise?
Yeah.
It's actually very terrifying.
I know. Sometimes it sounds like a person.
It's very scary.
Yeah. People say activity seems to be more extreme on Halloween. And actually, some say that you can only see the goat man on Halloween. And if you go to the area in the woods where the Washburns' home was, apparently you will feel your skin begin to burn.
That's really sad. Is it because the veil's thinner on Halloween?
Maybe, but I don't know. It was like a thing where some people only claim that you can only see him on Halloween. That could be
like,
why.
Just like a spooky thing.
It also could just be because it's Halloween and everyone just wants to be scared on Halloween. So yeah. Maybe more people go there on Halloween. I don't know.
Full of candy corn on Halloween.
Some say the goat man isn't the only entity haunting the bridge, though. There have been reports of a woman who wanders around the area in search of her lost baby, La Llorona style.
I don't know that story. Can we do her?
Yes.
Is there a movie? There's a movie, right?
There are 2 movies.
Are they good?
That I can think of, and both of them suck. Well, one sucks. There's like a Shudder exclusive one that's just terrible.
Yeah.
And then there's one, actually the one that's a part of the Conjuring universe, I didn't think was that bad.
Okay.
That one's all right. I think Linda Cardellini is in it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I love her.
So 2 things. One, do you want to watch that with me?
Yeah, let's
okay.
do it.
Also, can we do this story? Because, like, it sounds super spooky.
It is very spooky.
Okay, continue. I'm sorry. Keep interrupting you.
So this woman is said to cry out for her baby, and people claim to have heard her crying and have spotted her kneeled down, sobbing in the center of the bridge. When approached, she vanishes. And some claim her baby was stolen by the goat man, and she once he did that, I guess, threw herself from the bridge because she was so sad. But, I mean, that's just, like, people trying to connect the two stories.
Yeah.
Another story goes that the presence of the goat man was summoned by occultists. And they are the reason for all these ghostly happenings, as some people believe that they were the ones that opened a portal to hell. I think this is 100% fueled by satanic panic.
Oh, yeah.
But the belief is that a group of occultists met on the bridge and called upon the spirit of Oscar Washburn, thus summoning a demon version of the goat man and opening a portal.
That's so interesting. We should also do an episode on satanic panic because I'm currently obsessed with moral panics.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, thrilling to me.
Yeah. Sights of strange lights have been reported in the area. One woman claiming to see an orange light shot into a long beam straight into the air, and then it just disappeared.
No, that was actually a promo for Tang. Yeah.
The same woman who, I guess, was there doing an investigation. So she had a K2 meter, which I brought up earlier,
which is the thing
that detects electric magnetic fields, for all of our ghost hunting babes out there. So she claims that she was using this and, I guess, asking the spirit questions, and she was able to determine with the K2 meter that the spirit was a woman.
Oh.
So. Other reports include hearing a growling voice saying, "Get off."
Get off.
The feeling of hands grabbing you in the dark, or a feeling of rocks pelting you.
What if, like, you were standing on the Goatman Bridge, right? Hear me out. It's Valentine's Day. You're like, I'm kind of lonely. Like,
I just want to be grabbed, you know?
Yeah, and slugged. Someone's like, get off. And then they, like, grab your hand. And you're like, what are we?
You're like, ew.
Who are you? And then you have a boyfriend.
So that's it for, I mean, a lot of people have had a lot of experiences on this bridge. But with all of these rumors and claims of haunted experiences, there has been a real-life horror that happened on the bridge.
Oh, like provable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So in November of 2018, the body of Lermont Stowers Jones was found in Hickory Creek. And that's the creek that runs below Goatman's Bridge.
The Muddy Creek.
Police ruled the death an accidental drowning after Lermont apparently jumped into the creek from Goatman's Bridge.
Oh my God.
But the family believes there was foul play involved. Wow. Because in the days leading up to his death, he received racial harassment and death threats, which were reported to Denton Police and Denton High School, and a kid was even expelled from Denton High School for threatening to bring a gun to school to shoot Lermont.
Oh my God, so he was a child?
Yeah, he was in high school.
Oh my God.
He was 17.
What?
Mm-hmm. His father said that when his son's body was found, that the scene wasn't roped off, and several hikers were just out and about roaming around the area as if it wasn't a crime scene.
That's upsetting.
Yeah. No one from the sheriff's department even bothered interviewing the family, and Lermont's death was barely reported on. And the ones that did criminalized him because he reportedly had marijuana in his system.
Oh, fucking K.
Which, same. Okay.
Like, first off, I'm going to look up if it's illegal in Texas or not. Mm-hmm. But, like, you fucking cannot any... You can never fucking malign a person for smoking the devil's lettuce, because honestly, we all fucking do it. Your mom does it. I promise, whoever's listening right now, your mom has smoked weed.
Mom has smoked weed.
This is upsetting to me. I'm shouting, but, like, come the fuck on. They always try to fucking do this to the victim.
And I guess I didn't mention this in the beginning, but Lermont was African American. So...
Okay, so this is clearly racially charged.
It's very racially charged.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just looked it up, and recreational marijuana is not legal in Texas, but medicinal is. So it's, like, in a weird gray area. And also, it is 22.
Everyone is a gray area for everyone. Just make it legal.
Your mom has smoked weed.
Authorities never conducted a thorough investigation, which his family believes is directly related to the color of his skin.
Honestly, probably.
Mm-hmm. And this actually happened before Black Lives Matter protests.
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
Well, many people haven't. Autopsy reports indicated that Lermont's body did not show any trauma to his body, and that his lungs were just overcome with water, even though his family said that he knew how to swim.
Wow.
But, I mean, maybe jumping from the bridge, who knows? They said it was uncharacteristic of him to be adventurous enough to jump from the bridge into the water. And they were also told that at least one person who was with Lermont fled the scene after he jumped, while apparently another stayed behind to try to help him.
But we don't know who he is, who they are.
I'm thinking maybe they were friends, because I honestly could not find, like I said, there is not a lot about this whole thing, because the sheriff's department just wrote it off as an accident, which maybe it was. But they didn't really investigate it.
Sounds like a real, like, bullying thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate, but this is very sad.
Right. So even with this information, the family still feels as if they don't know the whole story, and they still suspect foul play. The fact that he died on Goatman's Bridge makes it all the more suspicious.
Yeah, especially because of, like, the history of, like, racial injustice happening near and around this bridge.
Exactly. Supporters nationwide have pitched in to help the family fund an independent investigation to hopefully provide some answers for this poor family.
Yikes.
And lastly, what would be a good old haunting episode if we didn't bring up the fact that Zach Bagans also investigated this area?
Okay, so everyone, right now, Nicole and I, obviously, we're roomies, okay? We were sitting on the couch last night doing our researchies, and we both, like, stopped at the same moment, and we looked at each other, and we made eye contact, and we said, almost in unison, these are ghost adventure shows.
And they are. And we haven't watched them yet, though.
We were going to, and then we didn't.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I love Bagans so much.
I know. So he investigated this area, and oh, baby, did he investigate?
Hell yeah.
So this particular investigation was so traumatic that it is apparently the reason for a divorce.
Okay, wait, what?
Because that's what you do. You mean, if you have an issue, you blame a ghost.
Your Honor, ghost came between our marriage.
Right. Is your vision going? Can't be because you're over the age of 40.
No.
Must be because, you know, ghosts, they did it. Having marital problems? Can't be because you're a shitty husband.
No, no, no.
Must be ghosts.
Must be a ghost. Anyways, I'm gonna make a t-shirt that said, my wife left me because of a ghost.
Well, according to Ghost Adventures crew, so Jay Wasley, who is a cinematographer, and he's a regular on the show. If you watch it, he's like the guy with like the longer hair. I think there's like Billy, Jay, Aaron, and Zach.
Yeah. The dream team.
The dream team. All of which are like Zach. Like, I feel like he has to put dorky people around him to make himself look cooler.
Yeah, they're like all middle-aged white men that like like play goth. I love it so fucking much.
I mean, Aaron's the best, but whatever.
He is the best.
So apparently, Jay Wasley split with his wife Ashley, who was a behind-the-scenes photographer for the show. And they got a divorce after they experienced such a traumatic event while investigating Goatman's Bridge. Are you ready for this?
Okay. I'm so stoked.
So according to Jay, his wife Ashley was never the same.
Wait, I'm going to read it in Jay's voice.
Ashley was never the same.
After they investigated the bridge. He said while on site, Ashley was suddenly overcome with anger and emotion and for no reason at all just wanted to hurt Zach. So, like, no reason, I'm sure. She just wanted to physically harm him.
Yeah, okay.
But just Zach.
Yeah, just Zach. Mm-hmm. Just the big.
She then apparently went into the woods alone to face her fears.
Okay.
And was attacked on the leg and hit on the head, which resulted in a bruise, apparently. So he claims, Jay claims, that this is the reason for their divorce and that he has vowed to never again ever go back to the bridge. And this episode was actually the last time Ashley filmed with the crew after working with them for several years. So
I'm obsessed with this.
Who knows if something actually did go down? I don't know. But that's apparently why they broke up. Or maybe she was just like, I looked up a picture of her too, and she is so much cuter than Jay. So
she's like, this is my out.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
I want to know, you know how like Zach Bagans we talked about earlier, like recently has become like possessed on basically every fucking episode?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if Ashley got like, quote-unquote possessed, or maybe really possessed. And Zach was like, wait, this is going to be my thing.
He got mad because she got possessed and that he fired her.
Yeah. Oh, shit. And then because she got fired, she broke up with her husband because she's like, you never fucking stick up for me.
You take my side. You always take Zach's side.
Oh, shit. This is the Renaissance Fair all over again.
It is. It is. I'll come back. Apparently, other members of the crew also experienced physical harm while investigating the
bridge. Please tell me it happened to Zach.
This is okay. I really should have watched this episode. Now I'm gonna have to go back and watch it just for this one.
Let's watch it later.
Yeah, we'll do it. So Zach apparently got so angry with himself.
I'm crying.
That he choked himself.
No.
Because he claims he was under the direction of a spirit, and the crew had to stop him from choking himself.
You mean the crew or Aaron?
Probably Aaron. Zach. Can you just imagine, like, just picture Zach Bagans choking himself right now?
Oh, I am. Oh, I fully am.
It's very.
He's like very funny. Do you remember that game that kids
used to play? He's probably really angry too. Like, fuck you, Zach. Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, and he's like one hand on his throat and the other hand like on his wrist, and he's trying to pull it away, but he's like, I can't.
Spirits are too strong.
I'm choking myself with my strong arm. I can't do it.
Yeah. So that apparently happens, which is reason enough to watch this episode.
God damn it. I'm going to pull that clip and we're going to put that on Insta.
Please. And then apparently Aaron was thrown and knocked down by an unseen force.
I love this. I love this so much. Yeah. I can't believe we didn't watch this.
I know.
This is like...
I completely forgot I was going to wake up this morning and watch this, but then I started watching You, the third season of You, and then I just got like sucked into it and I completely forgot to watch this
before we recorded. I know. I was watching Pam and Tommy this morning and I should have fucking watched Ghost Adventures instead.
I know.
We really should have done this.
Also, a BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Oh, there's one for mine too.
On this, and I was gonna watch that too, and I watched You instead.
I support that because honestly, like, we just pantomimed it. Zach got mad at himself somehow, and a ghost choked him, and then Aaron got like thrown.
Yeah,
that's like every episode.
That's basically the plot to every episode, and that is the story of Goatman's Bridge.
That's a very good story.
But we have a listener mail that I would like you to read that I put in here, which is obviously where I got the idea. And we have a listener who has her own experience of Goatman's Bridge.
This is from Jordan M., who we chatted about earlier. Mm-hmm. So hi, Jordan. She says, hi, Nicole and Noelle. Hi, Jordan.
Hello.
My name is Jordan. She, her. And yes, you can use my name. Great, because we have several types. I recently started listening to you guys when I got a follow request from your IG. I'm so thankful for it because y'all are... Oh my God, is she from Texas?
She is. Yeah. She lives in the area.
Jordan, I don't know if you have an accent, but you do now. I'm so thankful for it because y'all are definitely my new favorite podcast.
Aw, so sweet.
I had a creepy tale that is tied to some local lore and I thought you would love.
Oh, we love.
I'm sorry it's going to be a little bit long, but I want to make sure it all ties together. I'm from Denton, Texas, which is north of Dallas in Fort Worth. I literally have no idea like what the geography of Texas is like. I just know it's fucking huge and like that should probably be split up into like 4 to 5 states. I grew up in the area, and one of my favorite local legends is the Goatman's Bridge, also correctly known as Old Alden Bridge. Here is my personal experience. As a kid and teenager, I have visited the area multiple times, always getting a creepy feeling, but never experiencing really anything worth noting. It wasn't until a few months ago I was sharing this weird thing that happened to me on a busy road that passed by the old Alton Bridge, and I realized it most likely was connected. I was driving down Teasley, which is a busy two-lane road that passes right by the bridge, though the bridge is obscured by trees at most from most angles. There was a new stoplight, and it was after school let out. So there was some traffic which had me stopped in front of a dilapidated house. I have never noticed this place before, so I started looking at the front. So I started looking at it. In front of the house were two tall wooden posts. There was something nailed to the posts, and I was looking hard to distinguish what it was. Some sort of large, dried-up catfish, or possibly an animal head? I'm not sure, because before I could figure it out, my eyes fell to the background where an old, tall, angry-looking, dark-skinned man was glaring at me. He had a straw hat and some tattered clothes. I was absolutely terrified in that moment. Thank God, traffic started moving, and I was able to get my ass away from that area. I have no idea why I never connected the two. It wasn't until I was telling this story to a friend, explaining the legend, that it finally clicked. I may have not seen a devilish half-goat, half-man, but I definitely believe I saw Oscar Washburn protecting his land. Ooh. Fun fact, Ghost Adventures did an episode. Yeah, season 13, episode 13.
It's my favorite number.
Whoa.
Coincidence.
On this, and it's so absolutely horrible. They state everything is fact, but there is hardly any records to confirm everything, which is pretty on brand for them. Like, let's be honest, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was saying. Like, it's all legend, nothing mm-hmm. is confirmed, but of course Ghost Adventures is like, this is all real.
Yeah, 100%. The worst part was they reenacted the Ku Klux Klan being on the bridge for the lynching. My poor town thought the Ku Klux Klan was back in Denton. It was when I was in high school, and you could see the reenactment from the road. It was all over Twitter.
I was cracking up reading that, because that is so on brand.
That is very on brand. Yeah. That they just, like, dress up as the Klan, and people were like, the
didn't
fuck?
Tell anyone that they were filming.
Also, Shane and Ryan from BuzzFeed Unsolved did an episode, and it's hilarious. I put the links at the bottom along with the BuzzFeed episode from YouTube. Hope y'all are enjoying my story. Hope y'all enjoyed my story. You should definitely do an episode on Goatman Bridge.
Well, spoiler.
Great news. There is so much more information and stories that I didn't include because this email would be way too long. Thank you for being you, and keep telling amazing and quite unusual stories. Much love, Jordan. Aww.
Thanks, Jordan.
We love you too, Jordan. I hope
fantastic
my accent.
Topic idea, by the way, too.
It was so good. And then we got to do haunties, and that mm-hmm. was also very fun. Also, I hope my accent didn't offend you, Jordan. We love you very much.
Right. If anyone else has any creepy stories about their hometown and has potentially a episode idea for yeah. us,
maybe
shoot them our way.
Maybe you saw Zach Bagans dress up as
a Klan member
and you want to tell us about it. Maybe you saw a goat man. Maybe you went to the Whaley house and you want to tell us about your experience. Let us know for sure, dude.
Shoot us an email at quiteunusualpod@gmail.com.
Or you can always slippery slide into our sexy little DMs. Haven't said that in a while. We're on all the social medias. TBH, we don't check Facebook that often, but we will. We will.
Yeah, we have a group, though.
Yeah, we do. We do.
But we're mostly active on Insta.
Yeah, for sure. So. Yeah, but hit us up. Say hi or whatever. Also, if I can just ask everyone real quick. I think this is from both of us. Okay. Mm. So if you could rate, review, or subscribe to our podcast, whatever, you can do it on Spotify, you can do it on Apple, it helps us, and also mm-hmm. it's super fun to read your reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to support the pod in another way, we have a Patreon. So, and we actually have a new patron to welcome. So welcome, Ash A.
Yeah, welcome. Patreon's super fun. We do like a movie club, we have a Discord where you can chat to us, we're on there like every single day. So hit us up there. For sure.
And as always, remember to celebrate the strange.
And keep it unusual. Uncle Doms.
You had to throw the last one in there.
Sorry.
Bye.
And this is a part of the show. We give praise to the all-knowing leaders, supporters of the podcast, and all-around benevolent beings.
Spencer W. hosts a very cool YouTube channel called Aliens and Stuff. It's damn good, and you should all check it out.
Honestly, it's quite good. Mm. Yes. Tim M., an evil vampire with a heart of gold. He only partially drains his victims, and he leaves their bodies piled up outside the door of the blood bank, so the rest of their contents can be donated to the Red Cross.
How thoughtful of you.
Quite.
Savannah L. is in a hoobastank horror-themed cover band.
Oh.
The lyrics to I'm Not a Perfect Person have been altered to include the names of 64 serial killers because, let's be honest, they aren't perfect people.
I'm a perfect person. To Dylan Mee, who was originally cast in the reimagination of Space Jam, but was considered to be too spooky for the lead role. I guess a 500-year-old all-knowing being with white eyes that see into the endlessness of the future is considered maybe too spooky for Looney Tunes, but whatever.
Better off without them. Lauren R., a fan of online catfishing. She pretends to be a vampire offering eternal life, but when you meet up in person, she tries to get you to join her MLM essential oils team.
Well, come on, Lauren. That's just rude. To Kaylee O., who once tried to fight Michael Keaton.
Who?
We will miss your corporeal form, Kaylee, but it's great to see your spectral form has arrived in the attic.
Big mistake. You know he has nothing to lose.
Nothing at all.
Jess H., who is actually one of the Kelly Hopkinsville goblins, but like the tallest and most human-like, so it's like her job to venture out into the human world for McFlurries and more glitter.
Well, yeah, they need the glitter.
They need the glitter.
And they live on McFlurries, it turns out. To Evan K., who thought it might be fun to buy the Amityville Horror House to rent for an Airbnb, but he thought that the cleaning fees might be a little too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Katie T., she ain't afraid of no ghost.
She ain't afraid of no ghosts. To Adam K., a captain on a ghost ship. It's not like a haunted ship or anything. It's more of like an afterlife pleasure cruise. Quite nice.
Sounds delightful. Christina N., who has successfully used a Ouija board every time. The key is to just move the planchette on your own.
No, I think you might be doing it wrong.
No, that's how it works.
Oh, okay. I trust you. Kelsey C., a cryptozoologist with a working theory that Voldemort, I'm so sorry, he who shall not be named, yes, is actually the Michigan Dogman.
Interesting. John S., who recently moved into a haunted house because the aesthetic is just so hot right now.
Oh, yes.
Gotta get in that spooky season spirit.
I support it. And to Caitlin R., an evil scientist obsessed with making the perfect human being. They have combined all of the most flawless DNA, grew the cells in their lab, and when they revealed what the specimen finally looked like, it was basically just Paul Rudd.
That man does not age.
He's fantastic, isn't he? Mm. Yeah.
Thank you to all of our coven members on Patreon. Without you, we are nothing.
We're not worthy. We're not even uncadams.
I knew she was going to do it again, really.
I'm so sorry. I just like it as all. Sorry.